Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Take a listen to this.
Annuntio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus papam. Eminentissimum, ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Prevost.
Yeah, that was St. Peter's Square back in May as Pope Leo XIV was announced as the new Pope. And as part of our Newsmaker series, we are looking back at some of the big stories that hit the headlines throughout 2025. And this evening, we're going back to the very start of the summer, the 18th of May, and that inauguration. And the inauguration ceremony took place in the Vatican and was attended by dignitaries from the Catholic Church and many global heads of state. The ceremony was one of the biggest events of the year and was broadcast right around the world. Well, I'm joined now by Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Farrell, who attended the ceremony and witnessed in person that historic event. You're very welcome to the Hard Shoulder, Archbishop. It was the first inauguration that you attended. Can you give us a sense of the occasion?
Thanks, Ciara. Well, it was a fabulous occasion. It took place in the open out in St. Peter's Square. And as you just indicated there, it was attended by hundreds of bishops. Practically all of the cardinals were there because they'd been present for the conclave, which elected Robert Francis Prevost as Leo XIV. And then many, many heads of state were there, practically every state, not just Catholic states, but states from around the world. So there was a huge sense of joy, a huge sense of occasion, and I suppose a moment in history as well. And from my own point of view, it was absolutely fabulous to be there and up close and able to witness it in person.
And tell me, I suppose, about your own experience. I mean, how long did you spend there? What opportunity did you get to meet people and mix with all of those in attendance?
Well, you had to be there very early in the morning because there's a huge, you know, when you have that many heads of state coming in, there's a huge security clearance. So that took quite some time. The mass, I think, was at 10 o'clock and we had to be there around 7 in the morning. And we were actually out on the square, seated and vested over an hour before the ceremony. So, you know, you had a great chance to see the comings and goings. And then all of the heads of state were seated diplomatically and in a sequence, and that was probably sequenced by the protocol section of the Holy See. So, you know, to be there and to see that in operation and to then to see Leo in person come out and celebrate the Mass and give the homily on that day, it was certainly very, very special.
I mean, the Pope, he emphasised, I suppose, several themes in his first early remarks and in that speech that day. What stood out to you as the most significant, I suppose, or the most hopeful of what he had to say?
Well, I think he's a very positive personality. He signalled that he was keeping, I think, in continuity with Pope Francis's mission. And I think that was very welcome. Everybody welcomed that. And obviously, the whole notion of peace was very strong because, you know, as you know, at that time, we had several wars raging, particularly the one in Gaza and also the one in between Russia and Ukraine. So he was really emphasising the need for peace and his commitment to peace and trying to bring about peace in the world. And obviously then given his whole experience in South America Where he worked for many, many years as both a priest and a bishop, the whole notion, you know, of the poor came very much to the fore in what he had to say. And that has been to the fore in many of the things he has said since, the whole area, I suppose you'd say, of peace and justice.
Are there issues, I suppose, Archbishop, that you yourself would hope that his papacy might prioritise, such as renewal or vocations or safeguarding or maybe trying to re-engage younger people back into the church?
Yes, I think he certainly will do that. He's very committed to safeguarding. He's made that very clear. He's very committed to peace and justice and to young people. And obviously the need for vocations, particularly that's true in the Western world because the vocations are in decline. And, you know, that would be certainly one of the goals, I think, of his papacy, to try and reinvigorate the church and bring, a spirit of hope into the mission of the church. And keep the church focused on what it's truly about.
I mean,
proclamation of the gospel.
As you say, the need is there to try and perhaps reinvigorate the church and remind people of the role that it can play in their lives. But despite, I suppose, the fact that people have turned away in recent years, there's still been this huge fascination with the conclave and with the inauguration itself. I think a lot of people did engage in that and follow that and watch that. Does that surprise you, or what do you think that says about people?
No, I think, while people mightn't always be practicing their faith every, Sunday, some people are still very, as they would say, sometimes they're spiritual, their faith is important, they're, on the whole conclave, they want to see who's going to be the leader of the church, what direction is it going to take, because, there was a lot of speculation beforehand, about who would it be, what type of a pope, would it be different from Francis, so a lot of people were interested in that. And there is, the whole kind of mysterious element of the conclave, it's done behind closed doors, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit as well working there. It's not just a human process, it's very much based around prayer and reflection and discernment. And, I think that came across in the man they chose. He wasn't anybody's favourite. I don't think anybody had him at the top of their list for appointment, either in the media or indeed in the general public. But I think, when it was announced and people looked at his life and what he's given to the church, everybody almost universally said, that's an very good choice for the church at this time.
And we know those conclaves can take a number of days, but this was concluded within 24 hours. So it seemed like there was a lot of support for Pope Leo XIV once his name was put forward. Why do you think that is? How did that happen, do you think?
I think the cardinals probably had an idea who they didn't want. They certainly, I think, wanted somebody that was in continuity with Pope Francis. Obviously, there were discussions in what's called the pre-conclave conversations, and his name obviously must have come up in that in some way or other, because it came so quickly. I think it caught everybody by surprise, almost, within 24 hours of the conclave starting. So that was a surprise. But, when you looked at his life, he was born in the States, but most of his life was spent in South America as a priest and as a bishop. And then he spent 12 years as the head of a major religious order, which would have had him visiting over 60, I think they're in about 60 countries, and he had five languages, So all of that, when you put all of that together, and then he had the experience in the Congregation of Bishops as well, where I'd actually met him prior to the conclave when I went there on business. He actually chaired the meeting.
All right. OK, look, we have to leave it there. But Dermot Farrell, Archbishop of Dublin, thank you for bringing us your memories of the inauguration of Pope Leo XIV.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc. See.